Welcome back to the People's Parliament. This is Sanka Price here with you, Graham Vaughan, the producer. And in the studio with us, we have Mr. George Connolly. He is from the Democratic Labour Party. He just came in, and we'll put him straight in the hot seat. And we'll ask you, Mr. Connolly, how does the Democratic Labour Party intend to bring Barbados back to a stable economic position?
All right. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon to everyone who's listening. Good afternoon to my cohorts in the studio. And thank you, Sanka, for shoving that knife in my chest. So, let's start off. I mean, one of the interesting things that I heard recently is that we shouldn't speak about our history. The exact comment was, I don't have eyes in the back of my head, so I'm only looking forward. But I think to understand the future and where we're going to go, the first thing we need to do is to understand the past. And there are a couple of events that I think are sort of seminal events that we have to look at to see where we are today. Everyone talks about the 2008 crash, et cetera. But the thing I want to focus on in particular is a period between 2000 and 2007, where the Barbados, as a country, was the only territory that had a double taxation agreement with Canada. And because of that, all the Canadian IBCs were located in Barbados between the year 2000 and 2007. All. We had about $60 billion in Canadian investment in the country during that period of time. And that investment was second only to the United States globally. In 2007, the Canadian government then allowed every other territory in the Caribbean to enjoy the same largesse, for lack of a better term. And with that, the $350 million we were gleaning a year from having those IBCs here in Barbados, at the rate that we charged for, I think it's like a 1% at the time. That money was gone because several territories, and I think three in particular, have a 0% rate. So if you think about it for a minute, imagine, I mean, and all the economists can go and add the numbers up, I'm sure they will see it. Imagine $350 million being taken out from your income, okay, in one set. That was one of the things that impacted us severely. The other thing that we need to look at as a country is how we earn foreign exchange. And that's one of the things the Democratic Labour Party is going to look at going forward, and I'm going to speak to that in a minute. But the other thing that I wanted to raise was that this $350 million decrease came at a time when Barbados's public sector grew at the fastest rate in the history of the country. And you can do the math on it yourself. And you can see that from the time when Arthur took over the government in 1994 up until when he left office, I believe, in 2008, that the size of the parastatal organizations, they increase almost twofold with a $500 million a year price tag. Central government increase almost twofold with a $700 million a year price tag. You put $1.2 billion in just salaries and wages and transfers to SOEs on top of a $350 million loss. And you see that you start to have a recipe for disaster. And we're not going to talk about the other leakages that we had and the other items that impacted that. But suffice to say, the lunch that we're eating today has been paid for already. And we now have to earn our way. So when we speak to what do we go forward from here, we need to look closely at how we operate as a society. And one of the things that I want us to look at, and in my own campaign, with my canvassing, and if you see the shirts at my staff where it says, the DLP evolved. And that's what we need to do. We need to sit down and have mature conversations about evolution. And what we are going to look like as a country now that we have moved away from being almost an entirely agrarian economy, and services have now taken over. And now we need to start looking at what we're going to look like in the future. So we keep talking about sugar. We keep talking about technology. We talk about all these other things. One of the first things that I would like to see personally, and I think that the DLP is looking at, and is how do we transform the economy by empowering the individuals that are in the economy? So entrepreneurship. In particular, for me, I want to see more black entrepreneurs. And that's one of the things, when we speak to divestment or privatization, it isn't just divestment where we chuck businesses aside or we send people home. We want to create a new class of entrepreneurs where they can then, by empowering them, they can then build the human resource that we have and create greater wealth. One, another thing that we need to do, obviously, the index that the world uses for business right now is the Doing Business Index. And this is something that I'm very passionate about. And I'm going to give you an example of how doing business today is difficult. I want to precede this by saying that I think that persons in the House are unfairly accused of holding the reins of government and slowing growth and everything else. The government is rarely run by members of the public sector. And essentially, they see the 30 persons who go into the House as someone on an escalator going by. If the escalator goes up or down, depends almost entirely on the individual. But the public sector in itself is really run by the permanent secretaries and the officials of the government. And I've heard conversation when I came into the room about how permanent secretaries need to operate in a private sector type environment. And I am saying that, like Einstein, the person who created the problem usually isn't the person to solve it. And there's no way you can ask a man who has been working in the public sector with no accountability for years to suddenly become accountable and produce. So we need an entire paradigm shift there in terms of how we deliver that kind of change in the public sector. But to get to the substantive point, where in terms of doing business, or doing business today, and I'm going to give you a case. My company applied for a corporate account at the City of Bridgetown Credit Union. And this was in July of last year. The credit union asks the business to provide 14 pieces of information, a long list, the usual stuff, all the information from corporate affairs, personal information on directors, etc. In February of this year, because they have to then, when the information is given to them, they then have to go to the FTC. In February of this year, so people, I'm talking 9 months later, basically, or 7 months later, however you want to add that. 7 months later, I get a response from the credit union saying the FTC has now reviewed your document and are asking for an additional 9 pieces of information. And when you read it, it's the exact same information I was given before with a different title. There is no way that in this day and age, when we are in a position that global transactions can be done in a day or two, that we should be waiting 9 months to open an account. Doing business in Barbados is ambiguous and sometimes tricky. And this is one of the things that we need to fix as we go forward. There are several other things, but I'm being given the winder here.
We'll go so back to our phone lines because we want to take one more calling before we go to our ladies. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Yes, hello. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Yes, we have a call here with two people on the line. Now, do you have to ask the question, one question, to Mr. Conley or any other member of the panel, and so go right ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Yes. Good afternoon, sir. Ask your question.
Good afternoon, Chapter Ince here.
Hello, Mr. Ince. How are you?
Chapter Ince, Parliamentary Secretary. Thank you. I'm fine. Quickly, I heard Mr. Strawn made a statement that the Barbados Labour Party did not print any money during their time in office?
He made that statement, and I don't think he was correct. I was going to pull him up on it, but since you're on it, you do it.
Yes, because first thing I would ask Mr. Strong to explain to the people of Barbados, what is the meaning of printing money? Because what I do know is that for the term in office, I'm going to give you a simple example, because sometimes when we hear these terms, the simple things like issuing saving bonds is the printing of money. You have the institutions that can print money in Barbados. You have the central bank, and the treasury is also a fiscal agent of government. So when you issue treasury bills, that is the printing of money. When you issue debentures, and if Mr. Strawn would have examined the balance of the NIS in 1994 to what it was at December 31st, 2007, then you cannot say to the people of Barbados that the Barbados Labour Party wasn't involved in the printing of money.
All right, so let Mrs. Strong respond.
Hello?
Yes. Ma'am, just hold 1 minute. Just let Mrs. Strong respond here.
Senator Inks, every time I have a discussion with you, I find it difficult to follow your logic, to be honest. Now, you well know that what you just described there is ordinary financing of government. And to even confuse the national insurance and the central bank just further demonstrates your lack of knowledge and experience in the
area. No.
Hold on, Mr. Ince, please. Mr. Ince, hold on.
No, Mr. Ince, hold on.
You ask the question, he's going to respond because we have very little time.
The government of Barbados issues securities which the national insurance and ordinary citizens can participate in. That is not printing money, sir. Okay,
no,
that
but
is,
I asked you what was the balance. If the balance of the national insurance,
the national
what I'm saying to you is a comparative analysis. It tells me that the national insurance
sir,
won't print money.
You're not listening. The Central Bank of Barbados is the one that prints the money, not the national insurance. And so to the extent that the central bank, there's a limit beyond which the central bank cannot go with respect to financing government's operations. And if you don't understand that, it demonstrates the reason why we're in the situation that we're in.
No, but
because you, sir,
hold on. Both of you take a time out. I have another caller on the line. Madam, you're on the line. Please go ahead with your question.
What I wanted to highlight was the point that Ryan made earlier. I think one of the challenges when we're having an economic discussion where we find ourselves in this country now is the fact that we have to address the macro situation and change the economic outlook of Barbados over the long term. But we also have to be able to do something which makes us more functionable and manageable on a daily basis. So very quickly, to use the example of the Blackman and Gollop School, which is again this week closed because of the Cowich issue. This Cowich issue is something that ties into the decisions or non-decisions that we're making in the agricultural sector in terms of the large patches of land that we have in Barbados that are not under any kind of agricultural use or anything. So in terms of finding solutions to our problem, there's a real-time element. And there is a medium and long-term element. And really, anybody who suggests that we can get ourselves out of that position without engaging some type of financial facilitation, whether it be the IMF, whether it be, an institution like that by another name or whatever the case may be, I really can't see. If you're so starved for cash that you cannot deal with the things that are impacting on your daily life, and, of course, on your productivity, on the functioning of various elements of your society, there's no way to get yourself out of that unless you put short-term solutions, like Ryan rightly said, along with a more...
Sorry to cross you, but we really are stressed for time. What is your specific question, and who do you want to direct it to? Hello?
I don't think that there is need for a question. I just put a thought, a reflection to the panel, and the panel can answer it as they see fit.
All right. I have Mr. Conley. Mr. Conley wants to answer. Go ahead, Mr. Conley.
I want to just respond to what the caller said just now. And I didn't hear what Mrs. Strong would have said earlier. But I agree wholeheartedly that there has to be both short-term plans and long-term plans. Mm-hmm. Short-term, if you have a fiscal issue, which is the current problem that we have right now, we're experiencing where we don't have foreign exchange, there has to be a plan in place to shore up the funds, as has been done throughout the history of the country. Mm-hmm. And if that is through the IMF or some other parastatal or some other supernatural organization, that's the route that we need to go.
So and you're suggesting, therefore, that the Democratic Labour Party would be looking at going through the IMF?
No.
Or one of the other multinational financing houses to get this short-term financing?
I am saying that there are options that are open to every government. And being part of the World Bank grouping, mm-hmm. that's one of the options that are available. Mm-hmm. And the parties that are responsible for that action will decide on the best course at the time. Mm-hmm. I am not authorized to speak on behalf of the government, so I will not do so. But I am saying that that is a natural course of action in terms of shoring up your Forex. One of the things that I must say, that's short term. Long term, when we talk about restructuring, is that there has to be mm-hmm. productive jobs mm-hmm. that we create.
Yeah.
And there are just four quick points that I'm going to make here.
Well, you really have to be quick.
Very, 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 very quick.
You have 1 minute.
All right? Uh-huh. So one of the things that we need to do, because all of this ties into the whole macroeconomic cycle, as the caller just said, is that we have to create opportunities for productive jobs that secure the livelihoods mm-hmm. and also help to reduce the cycle of poverty that we see mm-hmm. and also inequality. And we'll talk about that a lot more. One of the second things that we have to do is that the productivity in this country, according to all the global indexes, is poor. Regardless of how we skin that cat, productivity is something that we need to address. And one of the things that impacts our productivity is our energy costs, which is at 40 cents a kilowatt hour versus a country like Trinidad at 3 cents. There was a project I was involved in Jamaica where the Chinese said that 8 cents a kilowatt hour is the highest price that they'll go.
Next point.
Number three. We have to quickly find user-friendly business environments that get persons who are interested in opening international business here on the ground and driving those businesses forward. With the advent of ICT, we can now operate businesses from almost anywhere in the world. And Barbados is a wonderful market to use as a platform. And the last thing that we need to do is that we need to adopt new ways of production and consumption. I heard earlier that we are not an innovative market, and that's absolutely correct. We are primarily a consumption market, and we need to find ways to be able to produce. And that's another thing that my party will continue to look at.
All right, thank you very much. We'll have to take a break here now for the latest, and we'll be right back with the People's Parliament. Remember, we have everyone here now. We have Mr. Neil Holder from the Barbados Integrity Movement. The last voice you heard was Mr. George Conley. He's from the Democratic Labour Party. We also have Mr. Bruce Hennis from the UPP, Mr. Scott Weatherhead from Solutions Barbados, and Mr. Ryan Strong from the Barbados Labour Party. And we'll be right back with the People's Parliament right after the latest. Welcome back to the People's Parliament. Sanka Price here with you. Graham Vaughan is our producer, and we have in the studio Mr. Neil Holder from the Barbados Integrity Movement. We have Mr. George Connolly from the Representative Democratic Labour Party. Mr. Bruce Hennis, representing the UPP, the United Progressive Party. Mr. Scott Weatherhead from Solutions Barbados, and Mr. Ryan Strong from the Barbados Labour Party. Now, gentlemen, we've had our talk. We've all been very general, I must admit, and I've allowed you to get away with a lot of little things. From now on, we're going to be very specific. I will be cutting across you when I think that you are just pulling our chain, or pulling the public's chain, I should say. I want to tell you, Dong, I want you to be specific. Mr. Weatherhead, we're going to start with you, and I'm going to start a question here on the WhatsApp. It says, I'm a businessman who has two businesses that I had to step away from and find a job to pay my bills. My story is that over the last 5 to 6 years, my businesses have been grossing on average between $200,000 to $300,000. After I pay my expenses and pay my 20-odd staff members, I just about break even or experience a small loss. It has been worse in the last two or so years, and I had to lay off a few staff. Now, if you are taxing me 10% on my gross, I would be paying another $20,000 to $30,000 per annum, though I would not have been making a penny. I would have to shut down and send home my staff. Your plan, which is the Solutions Barbados plan, would cause a lot of businesses on the brink to close down and cause chaos in the employment market. Mr. Weatherhead, how do you respond to that?
I think the challenge really is understanding how our plan works. I think that's the greatest problem is people don't understand it because it is fundamentally different from what is being done today. Mm-hmm. So today businesses are taxed at a percentage of their profits, which means if they make no profit, they pay no taxes. In addition to that, we have something called value-added tax, which is 17.5% applied at the top end of your cost price. And in some cases, we also have NSRL, depending on the type of producer, locally produced goods and imported goods and so forth. So what we're seeking to do is to say to businesses, look, we're going to say to you, keep your profits. We don't want any of your profits at all. Your profits are yours. But we're going to also remove VAT entirely and remove NSRL entirely. So to begin with, your cost of operating or cost of doing business is going to come down because you will no longer be paying out the 17.5% VAT to your suppliers on your inputs. And you will no longer be paying out the NSRL at 10% if you're importing products or you're buying from other manufacturers who have NSRL applied. So to begin with, before we start to talk about how our tax is applied, let us understand that your corporation, your profits are yours to keep. No more corporation tax will be levied against you on profits. Secondly, VAT and NSRL goes away, which saves you 17.5% immediately. So if you're saying to me that you're making, let us suppose that you are generating $100 a month and you're spending $90 a month on your expenses. That leaves you with $10 of gross profit, which you're paying taxes upon. And what you're saying to me is that when I tax you at 10%, it means now suddenly you are left with no money. Here's what you do. You increase your costs by 10%. So if you're selling a product for $10 today, you increase costs to compensate for, increase your prices to compensate for this new tax that you will have to pay to government. But because VAT is gone, the overall cost to the consumer will come down anyway. And since you get to keep your profits, you're not paying any corporation taxes on profits. And it means now that you can restructure how you operate your accounts internally to ensure that at the end of the day, whatever you set your prices at and your margins at, you make money for yourself at the end.
Good. Does anyone here on the panel want to respond to that? To what he's suggesting? Solutions no. Barbados is suggesting?
Sanka.
This is Ryan Strong from the Barbados Labour Party.
I don't want to sound as if I'm disparaging anything that's being said here, but we are in a serious situation right now in this country. Mm-hmm. And the suggestion of completely removing the value-added tax and moving to this, whatever is being proposed by Solutions Barbados, is not well thought out, number one, and two, it will not work.
Why? No, you need to explain
the,
that.
The gentleman raised the point about the fact that you have small businesses at the margin. Mm-hmm. And the small businesses at the margin who are struggling either to break even or even to survive in an environment where the ordinary citizen does not have the money to come and purchase whatever goods or services that you're providing. That is the root of the problem there, is that people are not earning enough to be able to support themselves. Now, the tax issue here is that we have had a situation where for the last 10 years, the government has done everything possible not to let the economy grow. And so therefore, to the extent there is reduced value added, mm-hmm. and if there's reduced value added, meaning reduced growth, mm-hmm. then there will be no taxes coming from value added tax. And so therefore, the reality here is that we have to get to a stage where growth is being driven, growth is being driven by businesses having the capacity to expand, which means that people have to be able to supply those goods and services. Mm-hmm. This is not a generically a tax issue. It is more about how do you get the economy to expand to the stage where the value added is able to deliver the revenues for the government. Mm-hmm. Now, you tax profits simply because that is where the businesses now can have some return earnings to reinvest into the country. Mm-hmm. But businesses also pay value added tax and all the other import duties as well. And so therefore it's just simply suggest you're gonna give this 10% on gross income will completely destabilize the government's finances in its ability to deliver services to the public.
Let Mr. Hennis respond as well, and then Mr. Weatherhead, you can have the last word.
Yeah, what I wanted to say, you really, and I guess Ryan is also saying it, you really cannot have an economic growth led by just taxation alone, full stop, okay? An earlier caller talked about a whole tourism factor. Tourism basically is an international market. But the thing is, we're sourcing our customer base from international markets and bringing them here. We have to have the infrastructure set up here. We have to have airport infrastructure set up and operating at particular levels. And as the years go by with security issues, we have to invest more and more in infrastructure. Okay, when we're dealing with international business, it is more because of the technology base that we have these days. We don't necessarily have to, physically deal with people as we do with tourism. But we can't grow an economy strictly by a taxation-based strategy. Part of it, yes, right? Because as you start to get the economy growing to where you need to have it going, you want to come. Go ahead, Sanka. Yeah.
No, what I want to find out here is, let's focus on what solutions Barbados say. They're saying cut the taxes, drop the taxes to 10%. The person here on WhatsApp is saying the plan is going to ruin businesses. Ryan Strong from the BLP is saying the plan cannot work. What is UPP saying about Solutions Barbados plan? I know to you.
Yeah. No, my thing also is the fact that we're running a government. There's a fiscal deficit right now. Mm-hmm. So even with the taxes we're taking in right now, we're still running a deficit. Okay, especially in the last budgetary and the proposals that were put forward, we have it, right? Mm-hmm. So it means that, ultimately you can start to pull them down over time. But as the economy starts to grow again,
right,
then you can start to reduce the NSR.
So as far as you're concerned, the UPP plan can't work as it's been presented.
You mean the Solutions Barbados
solutions,
plan?
Solutions Barbados. Forgive solutions. Me. Yeah, the Solutions Barbados plan right. can't work as it's been
not,
presented.
Not at this very point in time.
Okay. Mr. George Conley, Democrat Labour Party. Your position on the whole tax suggestions by Solutions Barbados.
Well, there are two things that struck me just now. The first thing is that the caller says, and I don't know if you've read it correctly, that they're making $200,000 a year.
$200,000 to $300,000.
With 20 employees?
Yeah.
Numbers don't add up. Even if you pay them $180 or if you pay them $100 a week, mm-hmm. all right, the numbers don't add up. The employee expense exceeds the $200,000 to $300,000 a year. Mm-hmm. So just like the caller's math doesn't add up, the math from Solutions Barbados don't add up. Mm-hmm. Essentially, look, the government, we run a social network. The government provides services. Those services cost money. Everything from education to school meals to healthcare, et cetera. Mm-hmm. When you look at where that revenue comes from and the volume that's required to run the business, if you don't get it from taxation, then Scott and his team needs to tell us where it's going to come from.
Well, no, I want you know, Democrat Labour Party, what are you guys going to do? How are you going to fix this situation? The recognition is that that you've put too many taxes on and that you've basically taken too much money out of people's pockets. You've taken too much money out of the whole system, and you're really causing a problem with the economy. What is the Democrat Labour Party going to do to fix this situation? Specifics. You've been general. I've allowed you to get away with it. No more.
Well, I have to continue to be general because I am not the government. I can tell you what needs to be done. Okay? I can tell you what I think needs to be done. So, one of the first things that...
But you're representing the Democrat Labour Party.
Let me be clear. Uh-huh. First thing. Let's talk about economic growth in this country. And Ryan, I want you to go back to your charts and take a look at this. When we aggregate the growth in Barbados, let's say over the last 20 years, okay? Let's say the last 30 years, Barbados' growth is really a 1%. We had two periods of high growth. We had high growth in. We had two periods of high growth. Okay? And we got to put growth in context. Because if you have growth, followed immediately by a fall, is it real? So in 1997, and again in 2005, and it's about 4 or 5%. When you aggregate it, again, it comes back to a 1%. Actually, the exact figure is a 1.4%. And the real reason behind that, Sanka, is what we need to talk about today, is that we need to evolve the way that the macroeconomic situation in Barbados operates. We have to reform the way that we run this country.
All right, how are we going to reform it?
Well, one of the...
Because we went against specifics, because if I'm sitting down right now listening to this radio, you're talking about evolve. Tell me, Mr. Connolly, how the Democratic Labour Party is going to put more money back in my pocket. That is what I, as an ordinary Barbadian, wants to hear. Solutions Barbados have put on the table something to say, this is how we are going to do it. Okay?
That's right. I have heard them.
So therefore, you said that can't work. So you tell me now, as an ordinary person, how your party is going to put money back in my pocket. I'm an ordinary Barbadian listening to this radio program right now.
One of the first things that I think we need to do is that we need to look at the social services that we offer. We need to look at the social services that we offer, and we need to have a plan. And I'm not going to state what that plan is, because it has to be discussed. Mm-hmm. But one of the things, one of the first ways we need to get money back in our pockets is that we need to look at how we have social services and make sure that those services are given to the persons who need in the country and not to everyone.
Social services.
Social services. I think that's one of the things we need to look at. When we talk about economic growth, now let's go there for a minute. We have to drive, this drive that we talk about has to come from the private sector. We have to empower the private sector. There's no way that a government on its own
is going to empower the private sector.
We have to empower the
private sector. How are we going to do it?
Well,
business facilitation you mentioned before. I'm helping you here.
Okay, hold on.
I just want to be specific, because you're going into generalities, and we did a lot of that in the first half. I don't want to go down that road again.
So, let's be specific about one thing. Mm-hmm. So, doing business. We have to make doing business easier so that it allows private sector to be able to grow faster. Mm-hmm. We need to have opportunities for export, and we need to facilitate export. Mm-hmm. We need to divest government businesses, like I said, into the hands of new entrepreneurs, create a new entrepreneur class.
Right.
And we have to be circumspect about how we spend for infrastructural development.
Right. You're saying what you said before, divestment. Presently, the government is divesting BNTCL. Presently, the government is planning to divest Hilton. How are local entrepreneurs going to benefit from that? We're hearing nothing about it. Can you tell us about it?
I can't speak to that. I can't.
All right, good. Mr. Weatherhead.
Right. I want to be clear and make it known that we are not saying that the only answer is to change the tax structure. Mm-hmm. That is one of a multifaceted solution that we are proposing to fix Barbados's economy. So just changing our tax structure, I would never recommend that is the only way forward. We have to understand that today 95% of all of government revenue comes from taxation. How can we continue to run a country as a government where the only real source of income is taxation, and the few other sources of income government has, they want to divest those profitable businesses? So that means you're going to have 100% of your government revenue earned from taxation? No, I completely agree that we need to look at things like divesting our tourism products. Specifically, why is it that we continue to sell Barbados on the basis of sun, sand, and sea? Every other island nation in the world has sun, sand, and sea. That is not a differentiator for Barbados as a destination. If I'm a visitor coming to Barbados, I want activities to do, things that I'm going to be able to spend my money on when I'm in Barbados. Do you realize that you see numbers increasing tremendously, cruise ship numbers and arrivals increasing, but you don't see spend in Barbados increasing? Why is that? It is because they're coming here, but they're spending the money on the ship. They're spending with the all-inclusives that are not locally owned, and that money is leaving. Why is it that we don't have, let us give you an example, a Disney resort somewhere in Barbados, a Disney Caribbean resort? Why do we not have specific products and services that visitors can come and spend money on in the country? That is what we need to also have. Mm-hmm. So this is not just only about taxation. There's many things that need to happen. But specifically, we need to address the disparity between corporation taxes and personal income taxes, and we need to address the drain of the foreign reserve, which is happening through some of the corporate tax structure that's allowed to take place in Barbados. So by changing the tax structure, that is going to stymie the drain on the foreign reserve promptly. And also by changing the way that businesses are taxed, you're going to have more of that revenue generated locally and less of it generated in places like